So is there anything else you can tell me about, like, the lorry and the coal round? Did he go to the railway station with that lorry?
Yes, he did. He used to deliver coal to the station master's house. The last station master, he retired to Australia. Mr. Swaby, that's right, yes. I can also remember him delivering Mr. Eustace. I've been to see Mr. Swaby today. I think Mr. Swaby had a son who was at my school, and you say, oh, I've seen so-and-so's father, Mr. Swaby, I've been with the coal there. And it was a really long path to go up with the coal. But he never sort of complained about it. We just used to say, oh, I've seen Mr. Swaby today.
Did the lorry get used for anything else? Did it get washed out and used for delivering other things?
No. I think occasionally if someone had been moving and they wanted a large article, but he never did it sort of as a sideline. It was just as a favour for someone who would do that. And I do remember at one stage that we used to be able to borrow a person's caravan at Wheaton Gap. It was the landlady of, I think it was the Black Bull Hotel at Rothwell. We used to be able to use her caravan at Wheaton Gap. And sometimes we used to go in the coal lorry. And my mother and father would be in the front and Jean and I would be in the back. And we were obviously quite at home there. And if it was raining, we'd pull a tarpaulin over us. And when we got to the other end, we were quite black. So, but it was fun in those days.
You've already mentioned Dr. Goldsborough's surgery,
yes,
which was on your row of,
yes,
houses.
Yeah.
Just tell me a little bit about the other shops and businesses that were in that area along Aberford Road that you can remember.
On the actual row of houses I was on, there was Dr. Goldsborough's surgery to the right of our house, and at the bottom there was the chemist shop. There was always the chemist there. On the opposite side of the road, there was Mr. Carruthers, who was a printer. And then there was another row of shops, and it was a Miss Brooks who had a sweet shop on the corner. She lived in the Bentley Square somewhere. Next to that would have been Eli Harrison, who had a fruit and vegetable shop. And next to that was Ellis's Wireless's and electrical shop. There was a barber shop at the end as well, Jess Garland. He had a little shop in Midland Street at one stage, and then somehow Sammy Garland, who was Jess's son, he had a barber's shop on that row of houses. And next door to that was Asquith's fireplace shop. Next door to that, well, it was Ellis's at one stage, then there was Asquith's fireplace shop next door, then there was Miss Bingham's on the end, and then, of course, there was the pub. And the Rothwell bus used to back up that street. That was a terminus for it. We used to catch the bus to Rothwell. It would stand there till it was ready and then it would go off to Rothwell again. Yes.
So it didn't go all the way to Swillington then?
I don't recall it doing that.
Right.
It was like a terminus, I think, in Midland Street.
Right.
Yeah.
Was there a policeman who lived near you?
Well, there used to be PC Grimley. He lived in Greenlee, maybe somewhere. Could it have been Albert Road, somewhere around there? There was a quarry. Behind Carruthers, Mr. Carruthers' printer shop, there was a big quarry there. And I can remember at one stage, lots of things used to get dumped in this quarry. And we all hung washing out in the street where we lived, in the backyard. And when the ladies went to look at the washing one day, it was all spotted with different colours. And it looked quite pretty, actually. But we found out that in the quarry, a load of dice had been dumped from Waddington's shop that were rejected, and it had been tipped in, it had come by a horse and cart and been tipped in the quarry, and the wind had carried some dust from these dice which had been rejected, and it was all over the washing, so all the ladies were none too pleased.
What, you mean dice?
You mean dice that were made for games, you know, from the printing, Waddington's printing there. I'm sure it was dice that were dumped in the quarry, but there must have been some dust or something on them. They might not have been formed properly or something. But I know it caused a bit of an outrage in our street.
What was at the back of your house? Was there some kind of building to do with the council?
Yes, there was the council workshops were at the back. It belonged to Rothwell Urban District Council, I think, at the time. And, of course, at the end of that, there were the public toilets, which were never brilliant. But quite often the workmen would be in the yard and we'd my father would have a chat over the wall with them. I think he knew them all.
Is there anything else you can tell me about your house?
It was a rented house, and it was rented from Mr. and Mrs. Buck. I don't know where they lived, actually, but they might have owned the whole row. They came once a week, and my mother or father paid the rent to them.
What about going to school? What do you remember about going to school? Where did you go to school?
I went to Woodlesford Primary School. I remember I must have been very, very young. I started school at 3 years old, something to do with the war, because mothers were doing other jobs and that. And we had to walk to school in those days. There were no lifts or anything as there are today. And I had to walk behind the fish shop and over some land. It was like allotments over there. And it would bring me out at the end of the stockings, and then I used to go up Highfield, and then the school was at the top. But I remember it was, I think we called it the tip, and going over the tip. And I remember walking there on my own as a very young child.
On your own? You didn't go with other kids?
I don't think there was anyone at my school. In my row, there were some people called Anne and Joy Story, but they went to Oulton School. And I don't remember anyone walking with me to school. I think I went on my own.
And did you mix with the kids who lived on Midland Street, all those rows on Midland Street? Did you play with them?
No, I didn't, no. There were children in my own street, and we all played together in our backyards, really. There were always children on either side when I lived there, apart from when Mrs. Asquith had it. After that, a family called Abbeys moved in, and they had Sheila,
right,
Janet and Brian Abbey.
And is there anything about when you were young, so from about when you were 5 years old, I suppose, just at the end of the war, through to the 1950s, is there anything you can remember, like, that sticks in your mind about the village?
We used to go to, they were like fetes, I suppose, we called it a summer fete. And I can remember going to a house which was opposite the Coal Board Villas. Would it be Eshold House? I think they used to have like a big garden party there. And we had a Carnival Queen, we probably called it Carnival Queen, and the attendants and page boys. And we used to go and play games when that was happening. And I remember a similar thing happening in Oulton, because I was always told we lived on the dividing line. Midland Street was the dividing line between Woodlesford and Oulton, and we were just in Oulton, where I was. But the Midland Hotel was actually in Woodlesford.
What did you do when you got to be older? Like, when did you, tell me about when you left school. What did you do when you left school?
I left Woodlesford Primary. I actually passed a scholarship and went to Rothwell Grammar School. And we used to catch a bus every morning to get to Rothwell Grammar School. And I was there till I was 16, so that would have been 1956. After that, I went to College of Commerce in Leeds, and I qualified as a secretary. I got short-term typing, bookkeeping certificates, and I took various secretarial posts in Leeds. I used to travel by train a lot of the time, and I remember quite often I was always late, and I used to be having to run down the hill to get to the station to catch the train at a certain time. And I can always remember other people and be coming from all directions and running, and the station master, or it was a man called Jack Perry then, he was saying, come on, you're going to miss it, come on, we're holding it up for you, and they'd try and keep the train there, and we'd all run in and dash into a compartment, and then we'd be setting off, and we'd all be saying, oh, what did you do last night, where did you go, and swapping tales and that, and even putting makeup on the way to work on the train, because we'd all slept in.
And so there were quite a lot of you who used the train in the morning.
Yes, yes. Yeah, a lot of, I also remember Shirley Ashley. There was quite a big family of the Ashleys. Shirley was nearly always on the train with me. Jack Perry's wife, Anne, she was always on the train. She'd be running from another direction.
And what about coming home in the evening? Did you all come home on the same train in the evening?
No, we all came home probably at various different times. But I do remember coming home once and there being a train accident. I was on the train, it was a diesel train, And I was sitting there. There were a couple of other people from the village I knew. And as we were coming onto a track, there was the crack Devonian Express was coming. And we actually both went for the same track. And the Devonian knocked us off the rail. And there was something in the paper. I think someone was actually killed on the train.
On your train?
On the train, yes, yeah. And I think there were about 200 of us who, it just said in the paper, you know, we'd had a narrow escape. And I remember climbing off the train and onto the track and walking back to the station. And we were brought home on coaches which had turned up to take us home.